Hey friend, I'm Michael McCurry. Thank you so much for joining you once again today for Bible Tract Echoes. Now, did you know that God can use less than optimal circumstances for His glory? Of course you do. You think of so many opportunities and so many times in Scripture that God did so, but did you know He can do so at the family level as well? We're talking about this week the household of faith. The household of faith. And I'd like to apply it to your life and mine and our families. So often we can be beat about the head and shoulders with biblical truth. And I know I've experienced it. Not that I'm saying it's a bad thing, but sometimes we can just look up at the guy doing the bludgeoning, the guy with the Bible in his hand trying to say, why? Just smacking one way and the other. Why won't you just do this? And you think, I get yelled at work sometimes. I get yelled at my family sometimes. But I didn't come here to be yelled at. I'm just looking for some help. And that's my desire today. We talked Monday about the scriptural mandate for a household of faith. It's so very important. We talked yesterday about the impact of a legacy, impact of the household of faith, and some practical things that we could do to help that impact. But today I want to talk about finding help in broken places. Finding help in broken and less than perfect places. We want to find as our text, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. I'd like you to tune your ears. It's likely that there are many people I'm talking to right now that you have come from a less than perfect place. We all have, if we're honest, even those of us with that would say we had a great upbringing. There were times that were difficult. People are people everywhere. It doesn't matter which side of the world you grew up on. Things can be difficult, but I'm glad again. I think I quoted this verse on Monday, James 4:6, but He giveth more grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1 says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And we could just pause there and shout and praise the Lord for a little while, but let's continue on to Timothy. So here we have kind of the return address, Paul, an apostle, and then here's the address, who it's going to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, and there's a little bit of tidbit, kind of where we're going with this. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. We're going to kind of attack this from two different sides, if we can, finding help in broken places. Could we stop for a moment? I don't do this every episode. Maybe I should more, especially with the theme that we're going to come at this from. But could we pause and take a moment and invoke the holy name of God? Could we pray for just a few brief moments? Would you join me in that? Let's pray. Father, we're so very grateful. We have much to be grateful for. You've been so very good to us. God, I ask that you would you please work through these few brief moments we have? Would they be a blessing? Yes. Would they be a help? Maybe even a conviction is necessary. God, please do a work now. We ask all these things in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now, as we look at this and we do our best to find help in broken places, I notice that Paul, we could say in a worldly sense, he came from a good upbringing. We could look at his family history and all that type of stuff, but as far as his raising educationally, status-wise, I mean, even his citizenship as a Roman, but also a Jew, he had a lot going for him. Even if his parents, I'm sure, much like your parents, were not perfect, and they raised him in a false way of worship, of course. He was not a Christian until that Damascus Road experience. But at the same time, Paul had this upbringing that he probably looked back and said he was thankful for the way he was raised. But then you have a guy like Timothy. Timothy, his father was a Greek. His mother, Eunice, was a Jewess. He was raised as a half-breed. He was raised as someone with one foot in one world and another and one foot in the other. He was raised culturally split. A difficult thing. I don't know if his parents were, by that standard of the day, divorced in a way that you and I would understand it. We don't know the entirety of the background. We do know because of Acts chapter 3, I believe, it talks about his father somewhat. And the Bible very specifically points out that Timothy's father was not a Jew. But regardless, there is some split to the home. You notice how often in Scripture, the Bible speaks of the men of the home and the importance of the men of the home. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the man of the home, Timothy's father, is not mentioned. But the faith of his grandmother and mother are. The first thing I'd like to point out is the fact that there is hope to be found. There is help to be found in broken places. What a joy. What a blessing. What a thought, what an anchor to latch onto, to know that in a difficult situation like this, a man whose name is all over the New Testament, especially Paul's epistles, this young man Timothy, so greatly used. When we think of Paul and Timothy, it's like Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, these different characters who had this multi-generational ministry, Bible accounts of God blessing them as they worked hand in hand, striding across generations. What a joy. And Timothy was used in a great way and carried on the legacy of Paul. We don't know precisely how many years, but carried on a legacy that was given to him by the apostle Paul, and did so with strength, and did so with not just a need to carry it on because the old man said so, but because he had a relationship with God Almighty himself. Can I speak to you? Single mothers? Can I talk to you, grandmothers, maybe that are raising your grandchildren because of circumstances? There is hope. Now, is it difficult? Oh, most certainly. Sometimes needlessly so, it feels like, doesn't it? But there is hope. I think back on the young people that we picked up and still pick up at different churches I've been a part of, on bus routes and things. And I think back on those times when the mother got involved. And instead of just sending the kids, there'd be times when all we'd ever see was mom. And every once in a while, the kids, maybe once a month or even twice a month, the kids would be gone because they would be at dad's house for the weekend. They couldn't come to church. Maybe dad lived too far away. It was amazing to me to see the ratio, the rate, the percentage of young people that decided to live for God when mother started getting involved with church. And when I say church, I don't just mean a social club. I mean she established a personal relationship with God and started coming, started being faithful, started leading the little family group that she now had. Of course, a father, a dad being absent. There was a man, a male, I should say, that fathered some children but did not take up his mantle as he should. He was a male. He was not a father. He was not a man as he should be. That is, you know, that is God's plan. That's how it should be. But we live in a broken world. But I also see this. I see first that there is hope. Just two thoughts today. There is hope. But where do we often find that help? I see here the answer in verse number 3. I thank God, Paul says, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. I see, whether by their own desire, whether just by the grace of God, how it came to be, I'm not sure, but Lois and Eunice, grandma and mom, Timothy was allowed to be around Paul. Timothy was put in a position where he could be invested in by a mentor, by some people that came alongside. This is not some plea for, you know, it takes a village or anything like that to raise a child, but there is something to be said for allowing some godly Christian men and women to invest in your children. I'm so glad for the people that my parents let invest in me. And if I were to start naming names, I didn't write a list down before I started this broadcast today, and so I would hesitate to do so because I would forget some people. But I think back on those that invested in me. I think back on one occasion. I was out door knocking, soul winning, trying to win people to Christ, invite people to church with a pastor. And I remember we led a young man to the Lord through a closed door. I remember that vividly comes to mind. I remember standing there. It was a little chilly, not too cold, but I remember the young man who was 15 years old knocked on the door. He said, "I'm not allowed to open the door." And the pastor there, he invested in me. It was a short time of life. And he was, I wouldn't say he was chief among my mentors or anything like that. I learned some things from him. But he said, hey, if your mom said, don't open the door, man. I just want to ask you a question. And there was a mail slots you could slide things through. He said, hey, I just want to ask if you'd read this when you have a chance. Passed a gospel tract, an invitation to church. He asked him, hey, does your family go to church anywhere? It would seem natural as anything for him just to talk through that door. And I watched a man be a little inventive. And the 15-year-old boy on the other side said, no, we don't really go to church. And they talked for a little while longer. He said, hey, let me ask you this. And just talking through the door. And the boy on the other side, just I was probably about his age. Actually, I was younger. I was probably like 10 or 11 at the time. And it just fascinated me. And he turned it to eternity. He said, sir, a young man, I called his name. I can't recall it now. Called his name and said, if you were to die today, do you know for sure where you'd go? And the young man said, no, I don't. And they started talking, and the young man said, it's been bothering me somewhat. And using the track the young man was holding on the other side of the door, he opened up, the pastor did open up a track on his side and kind of walked him through that, led that young man to the Lord. Took 15, 20 minutes, took maybe longer than it could have if they could have talked to each other face to face, but I remember that. And I think of the people that have prayed for me, the people that have invested in me. I think about the people that my parents have allowed to help mold me. They say you will be who you are in 5 years, save for the books you read and the people you meet. I've been blessed with a lot of great people my parents have gotten me around. I'm so thankful for this example of Eunice and Lois allowing Timothy to be around Paul. Let's continue on this week. We're going to talk more about the household of faith. My prayer as always is simply this, that you have a great day for His glory, and I'll be praying for your family this day and continuing on. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracts Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracks, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracts Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve Him.